Someone's coming.
Yeah, fast too.
And that usually meant trouble. Conrad reined in his horse and Arturo brought the buggy to a stop. As they watched, the dust column continued to move toward them. Conrad's keen eyes made out a single figure at the base of the column. His gaze shifted, and he lifted a hand to point.
Even more dust back there.
What does it mean? It
means that fella in front is being chased by at least half a dozen riders, and I'll bet they don't have anything good in mind for him.
What exactly are we going to do about it?
Now that's a good question.
He reached for his Winchester and drew it out of the saddle boot.
I knew it! Whatever this trouble is, you're going to get mixed up right in the middle of it, aren't you? You can't let it gallop on past. Yeah!
Conrad heeled his horse into a run across the arid plains and a course that would intercept the fleeing rider. He had been torn for only a second between the two courses of action that lay before him. He and Arturo could stay where they were, allow the pursuit to pass in front of them and continue on to the south, which was probably the smarter thing to do, since he was on an important mission of his own, finding his lost children. Or he could give in to the part of him that didn't like 6-1 odds. That was the urge that won the mental battle. He had gotten in the habit of sticking up for anybody who was outnumbered. It was possible the fleeing rider was a killer or a train robber or some other sort of outlaw with a posse on his trail. In that case, Conrad would stop the fugitive and do a favor for the law. But he had to get an idea of what was going on. He didn't hear any shots or see any puffs of powder smoke from the pursuers. Evidently, they weren't out to kill the person they were after. Suddenly, Conrad realized he needed to stop thinking of that lone rider as a man. He was close enough to see long, fair hair streaming out behind the rider's head. Some men wore their hair long like that, but Conrad's instincts told him the single rider was a woman. A woman being chased by that many men was bound to be in trouble. Hauling back on the reins, he brought his mount to a stop. He levered around into the Winchester's firing chamber and brought the rifle to his shoulder. Aiming high, he squeezed the trigger and sent a shot blasting over the heads of the pursuers, who were a couple of hundred yards away. The woman was closer, maybe 50 yards in front of him. She changed course, veering toward him, hoping he would protect her. The pursuers didn't return his fire. As the woman flashed past Conrad without slowing down, he caught a glimpse of her pale, frightened face. Glancing over his shoulder after her, he saw Arturo had followed him in the buggy and was stopped a short distance away. He had jumped down from the vehicle and stood with a rifle in his hands, ready to get into the fight if need be. Conrad turned his attention back to the pursuers, who slowed their horses and then stopped, evidently unwilling to charge right into the threat of two Winchesters. They were far enough away Conrad couldn't make out any details about them except the broad-brimmed hats and long dusters they wore. The horses milled around as the dust cloud kicked up by their hooves started to blow away. Seconds passed in nerve-stretching tension. Finally, one of the men prodded his horse forward. Conrad stayed where he was, waiting in motionless silence as the man rode slowly toward him.
That's far enough!
Mister, I don't know who you are, but you're mixing in something that's none of your concern.
The spokesman for the pursuers was a thick-set man with dark beard stubble on his face. One eye was squeezed almost shut, no doubt from the injury that had left a scar angling away from it.
That woman belongs to us!
You may not have heard, but it's almost a new century. Enlightened people are starting to believe women don't actually belong to anyone, except themselves.
Don't matter what century it is, the law's the law!
What law?
The law of God!
You're Mormons, aren't you?
Call ourselves saints, or in our case, angels.
Avenging angels, Conrad thought. Gun-packing enforcers for the leader of the Mormon hierarchy.
Chasing a scared girl across this wasteland doesn't strike me as being very religious.
Now don't you presume to know the will of the Lord. The girl is ours and she goes back with us. She has defied the elders and must be punished.
You'll have to take her from us.
Now there are six of us, two of you.
Yes, but we'll kill four of you before you put us down. Maybe five. Maybe even all six. Not to brag, but I'm pretty good with a gun. Maybe we'll all wind up lying here, food for the buzzards, and then the girl will ride away. What good will that do your elders?
The other men had been listening intently to the exchange and rode up next to their leader. One of them spoke up.
Leatherwood, maybe we better not do this.
We're just supposed to bring her back, not kill anybody.
The leader's head jerked around.
This man's not gonna tell me what to do. Our orders were to fetch the girl.
We'll be able to find her later. Where are they gonna go that we can't find them whenever we want to? This is our home.
The one called Leatherwood hesitated. He glared back and forth between his companions and Conrad.
Elder Hyssop was clear about what we're supposed to do. I don't know about you, Kylie, but I don't much want to go back without doing as we were told.
They won't get away. Besides, after these men have been saddled with that headstrong female for a while, they may want us to take her off their hands.
That's a good point.
Leatherwood turned back to Conrad.
All right, mister, if you want her, take her. But know that by defying us, you signed your death warrant. Sooner or later, we'll kill you, and the girl will go back where she belongs.
Talk like that makes me wonder why I don't just go ahead and drill you right now.
Oh, you're welcome to go ahead and try, mister.
Conrad began backing his horse away. He never took his eyes off the six men.
Arturo, take the girl and get out of here. I'll cover your back trail.
The Mormon gunmen stayed where they were. Conrad understood why the one called Kylie hadn't wanted to force the issue at that time. Outnumbered, surrounded by miles and miles of nothing, and no place where they could get any help, he and Arturo were at a definite disadvantage. The Avenging Angels could stalk them at their leisure. Conrad and Arturo would have no way of knowing when or where the inevitable attack would come. For now, more gunplay appeared to have been headed off, and Conrad had a chance to find out who the girl was and what was going on. He didn't mind fighting, but generally he liked to know what he was fighting for, especially when trouble was delaying him in his efforts to find his missing children. He heard the buggy and the girl's horse departing behind him and continued backing his horse away from the gunman. When he had put 100 yards between himself and them, he whirled the horse without warning and kicked it into a run.
Yeah!
As he galloped after Arturo and the girl, he looked over his shoulder and saw the Mormons weren't giving chase. That surprised him a little, but obviously Leatherwood had decided they were going to bide their time. Conrad was sure of one thing. The trouble was far from over.